As I began to reflect on the process of rejuvenation, I did what I knew would give me some ideas and information. I went to the web. Not the web I think of when I think of the interdependent web of life. I mean the one with Wikipedia. I was astounded by the number of sites I saw, the first ones. They promoted ways you could change your physical appearance with surgery and shots to look younger. Changing yourself to be younger has been a dream of our culture for a lot of years. Just think of the magic of the Fountain of Youth. But that wasn't the kind of rejuvenation I had in mind. As we begin this year's dog days, I imagine many of us are in the throes of summer vacation that we were supposed to find rejuvenating. How many of us have had vacations that left us needing rest when we came home? On the highway the other day, I saw an advertisement for a water park with shrieking people on vacation. I thought of the people who terrified and endangered themselves. And I thought, doesn't seem rejuvenating to me. However, there are times when our physical rejuvenation requires intense intervention. Surgery is sometimes needed to repair a body part that isn't functioning correctly. In that case, there's little we can do but place our faith in someone with the skill to do just that. There are physical interventions that improve our longevity that we have more control over. There are medications we can take, all with arguable effectiveness, to lower our blood pressure, our cholesterol, thin our blood, cure our infections, make our breathing easier, strengthen our bones, and those are just the ones that I'm familiar with. Then there's a healthy diet. I remember a time in the late 70s that a few centenarians from Soviet Georgia remarked that yogurt was the secret to their longevity. What a boon for Dannon that was. There have since been a number of suggestions concerning the long lives of those people. Maybe it's the vodka. In any case, in this culture, we're inundated with ways to eat that will help our bodies live longer and better. But which ones do we choose? Look, even in the face of daunting facts, I suggest you choose a way of eating that promotes your health and fits your lifestyle. Looking back, it didn't make much sense for me to decide to be a vegetarian before I had a kitchen and a lifestyle that promoted preparing good food. Another way we seek to rejuvenate ourselves is with our mental functioning. A long time ago, people used to work with the New York Times crossword puzzle. Many still do. But the internet and cell phone apps have given us a plethora of devices and games to keep our minds sharp. We eagerly partake of the latest research with advice about food, vitamins, and exercises that will stave off the aging of our brains. We have accepted this toll that stress takes on our well-being. Many of us regularly incorporate ways of diminishing stress in our daily lives. Personally, I find walking meditation a very effective way of rejuvenating myself. I get the exercise my body needs and the reawakening my spirit needs. But before coming to this solution, I heeded the advice on a coffee mug I had. It was a to-do list that said, 1, stop the arms race. 2, floss. After that, I started putting things like nap on my to-do list. I was moving toward the realization that regular care of my body and spirit was as important as anything else I did. Recently, we've seen a resurgence in the act of coloring. That's right, the same pastime children adore is now something many adults find enjoyable and helpful. in the rejuvenation of their spirits. It's an easy way to downshift in the midst of a busy life. Andy Ray, a real estate agent from Knoxville, Tennessee, says, "Now I turn off the computer and the TV, and I have this beautiful pastime to go to. I decide what I want to do and how long I want to work on it. And immediately, I'm more relaxed and happier." Unlike other hobbies that may relax you, coloring offers complete absorption. Psychologist Alice Dormer says it engages both sides of your brain in that it's both creative and tactical. The creativity comes with envisioning the color selection and how it will play throughout the piece, while the tactical involves applying your decisions to the artist's design. Part of the joy of coloring is co-creating the page with the designer. By choosing a range of colors and where to place them in the design, you're creating something unique. Those words are from P.C. Tourzin, a mandala artist who leads workshops in New York. She often offers her students pages to color as a way to open the door to creativity. As long as we're borrowing tools to rejuvenate ourselves from our kids, here's another one, play. Play is not just essential for kids, it can be an important resource of relaxation and stimulation for adults too. Play can stimulate the mind. It can relieve stress by releasing endorphins and improve brain function. You can play on your own, but for greater benefit, play should involve at least one other person and be free of the sensory overload of electronic gadgets. We may then find play can improve our relationships and our connections with others. Helpguide.org says that playing can boost your energy and vitality. But I think George Bernard Shaw said it best. We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing. As you use, we've made a big commitment. The principles that we affirm and promote require that we be at the top of our game spiritually. It takes a strong spirit to affirm, protect, accept, and respect with empathy, compassion, openness, and humility as much as we call ourselves to do. The words of Aristotle that we thought about earlier remind us that we need to rejuvenate in ourselves in order to do our work. Luckily, we've got a lot of resources, one of which is the UU World. This quarter, there was an article by the Reverend Anthony Makar, senior minister of the UU Congregation of Atlanta, called The Wisdom of Play. Some of you may have read it, but his points warrant repeating. He recounts the story of a psychology researcher being invited to play Scrabble with two young girls. From what he could tell, their goal was to put down, in connection with one other word on the board, the longest, funniest word they could. The only rule was that it had to at least sound like it could be a word. The object was not to score points, but to make your opponent laugh. And the hilarity began. The researcher realized that his way of playing Scrabble was more like work. Their way of playing was really play. So he goes on to illustrate some factors of play. The activity has to be freely entered into. Much of our lives, our work lives, and our family lives, we do things that are supposed to be fun, but we aren't really freely entering into them. Nobody likes taking a child to the dentist. The players are self-determining. In school, our children get micromanaged and judged about everything that they do. So at least when we play, there should be no micromanaging and no judgment. The players must use their imagination. Our world wants us to be serious and literal. So we get enough of that. People always trying to get us to be straight. When we play, let's not be. The activity must be done primarily for fun. How often have we heard in our lives, grow up, get a life, do something just for fun? The activity is completely absorbing, not like watching the nightly news, which causes us a lot of stress. So I suggest that we start adding play to our to-do lists. Let's make sure that the activity is freely entered into and done primarily for fun. Make sure the players are self-determining and that they use their imaginations. Notice how often our games seem more like work. We might find ourselves remembering how we used to play, but no longer do. We know that a little playfulness can go a long way to rejuvenating our spirits.